Hello and welcome to Any Given Game Day with Mike Harrelson. I am Kieran O'Connor. I'm joined by John Balfe. John, say hello to everyone out there for show two.
Hello, everyone out there. We're delighted to be back. Thank you for the support in episode one. We appreciate everything.
No, that is where we start. Just a big thank you to everyone. As some of you will know from Twitter, etc., the decision to go out on our own after NFL Only Better was cancelled by Betfair for a variety of reasons. Great people there, you know, just things happen. It was made kind of last minute, didn't know how everything would go. And to see that in Ireland, it went 16 in the sports. It went number one in American football / NFL on Apple. Just fantastic. And a big thank you. I think, John, you'll chime in with that.
Yeah, I was the response was really, really nice. Obviously, it's a new show. It's episode, well, this is episode two, but in reality, it's probably like episode 100 and something if you break in the last show as well. So it was very encouraging to see strong numbers and strong listens and the feedback we got online. And I did note as well, I think Kieran, you sent over some of the podcast charts from Ireland and the UK, and we're beating, within hours of the first show being published, we were already beating Rio Ferdinand's podcast. So suck it, Rio.
Let's take that, Rio. Former, I actually worked with Rio before. He was actually a nice guy, but you know, well, yeah. I leave that out. I would also just
high sort of gag. Yeah, I think it's better this way.
Absolutely. What was I say? We reached number 8 in the NFL / American football charts in New Zealand. Thanks, guys. We were 97 in New Zealand, and we charted in Canada as well. So
really, they watch football in Canada. Oh, I suppose they have the CFL.
John, we are charged.
Wasn't The Rock? The Rock was a football player in college, wasn't he? Kieran, you know what
it
about
always got to do. You always got to bring. I actually used to have The Rock app. It was like a wake up with The Rock, and you could set the timer that he would set an alarm, and his alarm would go off on your phone too, so you could get up with him.
But what's it like? Necessarily. Okay, yeah. What's it like waking up with The Rock? Is that
amazing?
Is
it amazing?
It quite, sounds quite romantic. It's what a way to start your day.
Regular listeners will be like, "Where is Mike?" Unfortunately, Mike was not able to make the recording this week. We spoke to him today, though. He will be back next week. We did promise a season preview in last week's show as well. And that is just delayed until Mike is ready to go next week. So we have a season preview in our week 3 lines. And really, season previews, I always find, are best after 2 weeks of football, John. I don't know about you.
Exactly. It's approaching, like, you know, mid-season review at that stage. It's the sort of middle ground between a preview and a review of what we've seen so far. But, like, as you say, on a serious note, it actually is probably a little bit more beneficial because we'll have seen a lot more of the action and, you know, you get much more of a perception of what teams are good, what teams are terrible. And I'm sure we'll be discussing a little bit of that on today's show.
Absolutely. I said absolutely a few times there. Look, obviously, again, we were meant to record yesterday, and due to some stuff with Mike, we weren't able to. That's why we're coming out Thursday. Normally, we are going to be aiming for that Wednesday, so do subscribe to the channel. I know a lot of you have subscribed. It will be Wednesdays, like NFL Only Better was. We are going to do some other shows. I've talked to Mike about doing a kind of a mailbox show, Mike's Mailbox, which I know he's done on other shows and done other times. Very, very popular. Send in your questions. We'll kind of do some review shows as well. So we have a lot more coming. Because we're recording on a Thursday, we're not going to touch much on Thursday Night Football, which is, of course, the Washington Commanders taking on the Green Bay Packers. It's 3.5 is the spread. The Commanders are plus 3.5, 3.5, minus 3.5, sorry, for the Green Bay Packers. Packers looked good last week, John, but again, it's just probably too late really to talk about it. But do you like the Packers?
I do. I think they're looking pretty good. I fancy them. This is a good game now, actually. I know I won't spend too much time because by the time people listen to this, the game will have happened and it might have been a terrible game.
Or
it could have been fantastic. But yeah, it's an interesting game. The 48.5 is kind of just right on the line of the over-under that I'd be looking at for that one as well. So I'd probably, to keep it extremely brief, I would probably go Packers to win and cover because they're the home team. And they obviously have, we discussed him on last week's show, but I liked the look of Micah Parsons in that lineup as well. I thought he was quite, he was throwing his weight around just like you'd expect. He looks like he'll make a big, big difference up in Green Bay. So yeah, Packers to win and cover would be how I'd be looking at it.
Little quick one, if you have the notifications turned on and you are listening to us before the game, is that Josh Jacobs has scored a touchdown in his last 10 games as well. So do keep him, he's on quite the roll at the moment. John, big story from week one for me was unders 12-4. On the season
was what
unders, the underbetting was 12 and 4. If you're betting the over, you were kind of in trouble, which obviously my best bet was, which won't get in. In fact, I'll just say this because we're going to do the best bets when Mike comes back. John and I'll give our best bets, but we won't give the results really from last week. But I obviously was Falcons, Tampa's over, right? Which, as you know, John, because we were texting during it.
Yeah.
I needed 1 point and there was a missed extra point and then there was a missed field goal.
There was. It wasn't. It was. That's a bad beat, Kieran. I'll be honest. I mean, I do find it, for the purposes of the show, I should explain that I find it quite amusing when Kieran loses these types of things. But yeah, that was a bad beat. And look, if you looked across the NFL as a whole last week, there was a, you know, that wasn't the only missed kick. There were some pretty high profile misses out there, and a few couple of kickers looked like they lost the jobs. Jake Moody's gone from San Francisco, as far as I know. Somehow the
shown the door, shown the door brutally as well. Shanahan was out you go, mate.
And the Browns kicker, this guy Schmidt, he doesn't actually have any vowels in his surname, so it's like Schmidt with like lots of Z's and stuff in there. But he was a rookie kicker. He his first kick in the game was great. Nailed it straight through the posts from like 50 something yards. It looked really, really good. And then, but when the pressure was on, he missed an extra point. And he also missed a penalty or a field goal, from like about 35 yards. So essentially, you know, from extra point distance. If he got the extra point, it would have tied the game. And if he got both of the kicks, the Browns would have won. They lost by 1 point at home to Cincinnati. So that was a bad beat. And look, there was plenty of other missed kicks throughout the NFL as well. So this might be that year. If you're a fantasy football player, it's a good year to try and find a good kicker out there, because they might be like, you might be getting a lot of points from those guys, and other teams might be dropping a lot of points too.
Well, actually, that does bring us into the Browns, because I know you want to talk about them for the 6 o'clock game.
Here, I always want to talk about the Browns.
I do just want to touch on something that came out on Twitter on Sunday. The Bengals, who obviously won, had 7 yards in the second half, fewest by a winning team in 25 years.
There is a Cleveland Browns stat, if ever I've heard one. They lose a match to a team that has scored, or that the fewest amount of yards in the second half in a quarter century. Like, is there a more Cleveland Browns stat than that? Potentially we'll see another one this week when they travel to Baltimore. But yeah, that was disappointing. Look, from the Browns' perspective, well, I just jump into this now. The Browns are playing at Baltimore. It's a second AFC North matchup in a row for the Cleveland Browns. And Baltimore obviously had it, this is actually two teams. What's interesting about this is obviously it's two teams coming into with a pretty, I don't know if you can say bad beat, but they, the Ravens, that was a bad beat certainly from their perspective, wasn't it? You know, that Buffalo Bills fight back where they scored all those points in the fourth quarter, and to the point that, you know, there was, if you saw the some of the footage from the game, there was Bills fans streaming for the exits before the fight back came. I always think that's a bit of a risky move, isn't it? When you're one of those guys, you know, you paid your money, you want to like stay to the end of the game. Is that hard?
Yeah, I'll give you a good one. Teams with 40 plus points and 235 plus rushing yards in a game were 277-0, including playoffs. They are now 277-1.
How do you divine those statistics down even further? It's two teams who did everything they possibly could to lose those games, despite all the evidence, you know, or all of the statistics being in their favor, the Browns in the second half and the Ravens having that sort of lead as well. So look, these are two teams who are going to be, you know, they're licking their wounds coming into this game. There are two teams as well, obviously, because it's the great AFC North. It's a significant AFC North rivalry, particularly if you're a fan of either team. Maybe not, it doesn't, I'm not sure how much it charts across the NFL as a whole, but these two teams do not like each other for a variety of reasons, principally because the Baltimore Ravens technically used to be the Cleveland Browns before the back in 1999, when, but that's opened up a whole can of worms. So in this game, the money line, as far as I had it, now this was as of Wednesday, so please, if you are going to be putting in some money on this, I would make sure to check at the weekend, of course. But the money line, we have Browns 9-2, we have Ravens 1-7, if that is correct. The spread, I believe, as of yesterday, when we record as of Wednesday, was the Browns are +11.5, Ravens obviously -11.5, that's quite a large one. And the over under in this one I have at 45.5. now Let's see. Let's look at the. Well, we'll start with the home team. This could be quite a Browns-centric podcast from time to time, given that the team I follow. So let's look at the Ravens first.
Browntown
with John Belf. So, well, we're going to go Raventown for the moment. So look at Ravens, probably still the best team in the AFC. Let's be honest. We saw. Well, the Browns is the Browns, as has been said before. We saw Cincinnati last weekend. Cincinnati were funny or interesting from my perspective in the fact that it was actually kind of their defense that won the game rather than their offense. And usually it's the complete polar opposite of those two types of things in a Bengals game. So that was quite interesting to see. And Pittsburgh looked okay. And well, Aaron Rodgers, you know, getting his four touchdown throws on his debut in his new team. And then ravaging the Jets organization in his post-match interview. I thought was quite funny. So that's the AFC North setup. But having said all that, we've seen all four teams, and to me it still looks like the Ravens are going to be the team to beat, the most complete team in the AFC. Derrick Henry was as dominant as you would expect in week one. He got 169 yards, two touchdowns, and he made Kieran O'Connor very happy because he was his first pick in fantasy football, even though you lost your game, Kieran. So
there's no reason to take me like that.
No, there's plenty of reasons. There's a lot of reasons. So look, I wonder which of these two teams will bring in kind of a psychological edge, because they both experienced, as I mentioned at the top of this, a heartbreaking or a close defeat. And look, I think, you know, I'd have a little bit of problem with the odds makers in this one. I think the 11.5 spread is probably overdoing it ever so slightly. Look, if you look at the Browns from week one and how they've been trending throughout the course of the offseason, offense looks quite limited, but they looked really quite good on the defensive side of the ball. The defense looks like it's going to be a serious thing. Myles Garrett did what Myles Garrett does. He got to Joe Burrow a couple of times. There was that run as well where they got three sacks and three plays against Joe Burrow, which I thought that was kind of great. And look, doing the same thing to Lamar Jackson is a difficult proposition. That's going to be more probably your linebackers. The second round pick, Carson Schwessinger, might be kind of key to keep him under wraps. But yeah, the Browns have a couple of issues in their offensive line, which isn't going to help. They might very well be forced into a very pass heavy, I should say, script if they go down early. And then you're just looking at kind of Joe Flacco rolling the dice. And as we've seen, when Joe Flacco rolls the dice, you sink or swim, really, don't you? Because he's still capable. He's got one of the best arms in the NFL still. But at the same time, he just has this tendency to throw the ball quite often to players from the other team, which is not what you're supposed to do. So look, I think this is going to be an interesting game. I think the Ravens are going to win. I don't know if they're going to cover. So for the second week in a row, I think on this one, when it comes to a Browns game, I'll go Browns plus 11.5. They were plus 5.5 going into Cincinnati in the game with Cincinnati last weekend. They lost by a point. I think they can lose this game by less than 11.5 points. That's what I think. Kieran, do you have any quick thoughts on Browns Ravens?
Well, I think the Ravens will be smarting from it, but they have a tendency to blow these big leads. It's not the first time they've blown a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. In fact, we mentioned it quite a few times on the pod last year, so I think they'll be coming in smarting. They're at home. I'm not sure I would be as okay with the Browns on the 11.5, but I think the over 45.5 might be just a little bit better at the moment. I think Derrick Henry's coming in exploding, and the Ravens have got Lamar. They've got Henry, plenty of bullets in a gun for them on Sunday for that one. And as I said, 11.5 is the spread. John, you fancy the Browns on that, which brings us nicely to, I suppose, the big game of the weekend, really, that we'll have to chat about a lot. Eagles Chiefs. John Balfe, have you got the lines for me?
Kieran, can you jump in with the lines there? I thought I did.
Let's see. Yeah, it's 1.5 at the moment. Philadelphia Eagles take on the Kansas City Chiefs. The Philadelphia Eagles, as we speak right now, are 4-5. The Chiefs are even money, 1.5 spread, 46.5 is the over under.
I got it now.
I'll start with this now. I mean, for a lot of reasons, you think that the Chiefs are going to find themselves in really unfamiliar territory. They don't typically lose season openers. It was just the third week one defeat, the last week's defeat, 27-21, obviously in Brazil, which may add a little bit to that kind of thing. It was just the third week one defeat since Andy Reid took over in 2013. It was just the second since Mahomes became the Chiefs starting quarterback in 2018. And then when you look at other things, they're actually they have a chance that they would technically lose 3 games if you go back towards last season, which I don't think has really happened in the Mahomes era. So, and the big thing I think with the Chiefs right now is when we talked, and we talked a lot about it last week, that they just didn't look like the Chiefs of old. But once it got going for them in the playoffs, they were able to get it together, I suppose, and get themselves to a Super Bowl. But in that Super Bowl, they were kind of blown out. And you could say that there were teams that they played in the playoffs who were a little bit unlucky. So it's such a dangerous thing to say, but you're looking at this right now and you're thinking that this is not the Kansas City Chiefs of before. You know, there's one of their players is now, you know, joined us on the podcast scene. Their new sort of star player, or hoped Xavier, is out for a couple of weeks. They look really weak at wide receiver. I'm just looking at the touchdown scores, right? Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, Travis Kelce, third favorites, Marquise Brown, AJ Brown, Isaiah Pacquiao, Devontae Smith, Kareem Hunt, Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, none of these are great for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, none of this screams Super Bowl winners. None of this. Like, I'm genuinely looking at their team right now. I'm looking at their team at running back, and I'm looking at their team in wide receiver, and I'm thinking, you can go through the AFC and you can pick out 5 or 6 teams that are better right now in every facet bar the main one, which is Patrick Mahomes. Well, you got to say that the Eagles should go there and win. But, you know, last person I remember doing that in a huge game was Tom Brady all those years ago in the playoffs when they walked into Arrowhead and won. It's tough to do. But against this aggressive, dominating Philadelphia Eagles, who looked a little bit cagey against Dallas, but it's the opening game of the season.
Yeah.
If that offense goes in there, and look what the Chargers did to KC. Over 300 yards in the air, you know? Like, the defense is shot. They haven't got anything, really, as far as I can see, to stop Philadelphia. I can only see one thing, and that's an Eagles victory. 1.5, you got to, like, yeah, take it. I mean, 10 to 11, if you get evens, brilliant. Over 46.5, all depends on how much shine Philadelphia really want to put on this. You know, I mean, the third, what they took off most of their players at one stage in Super Bowl. You know, Travis Kelce was, when did you know it was over? Well, when they take off all the starters, it's over. I'm going Eagles. I'm really, really tentative to go over, so I leave it. But the Eagles, 100%.
Look, I think that's, I mean, I think, okay, let's, I'll play devil's advocate to that, because for plenty of reasons. Look, Kansas City Chiefs as a home underdog, and more specifically, Patrick Mahomes as a home underdog. I've said this before. I think, I recall there was one instance, was it either last season or the season before, that Mahomes was a home underdog. And I just don't, I think that is just too attractive an opportunity, and it's something that doesn't come along very, very often in these types of markets. Now, look, we know why. It's the Eagles, and they're, you know, a good team, and so on and so forth. But it's still, it's very, very difficult to overlook Patrick Mahomes as an underdog. And like, I read somewhere once that it's kind of one of the truisms of sports betting, is that if you find somebody like Patrick Mahomes as an underdog, you just take it because he's Patrick Mahomes. And like, I do see your point, Kieran, about, you know, who's he actually throwing to? Well, look, Kelce exists, and, well, you know, he's going to be around for not much longer.
Just about.
Yeah, not much longer by the looks of things. But look, he was effective in Brazil. He got that touchdown, and judging by his celebration, I think he thought he was in Spain, but that's a separate topic entirely. or perhaps Argentina, even. Anyway. But, yeah, Mahomes as a home underdog was one thing. And look, can you really look? Can you see the Chiefs starting 0-2? They lost 2 games in the regular season. In the entirety of the regular season last year, they finished 15-2. And if they start 0-2, I just think that is, hey, look, all dynasties struggle and suffer and come to an end sometime. But I don't know if I don't know if we can look at the Chiefs and see them losing their opening two. And then what are they going to finish at? But like 5 or 6 losses on the year? It just doesn't seem realistic to me for an Andy Reid team with Patrick Mahomes playing quarterback. So look, let's look at some other notes in this one. Like, against the spread, here's another little stat that I have written down for you. At home, the Chiefs are really, really good. They're 8-2 against the spread in their last 10 games at home. So look, that's something that is worth looking at as well. And I think as well, I mean, given that even though that they lost that game, I think the KC defense didn't look out of its element, and I think they did kind of show up a little bit against that game. But look, I do put a little bit of stock in the idea that those foreign games, those Brazil games, the games where you have to travel, play in a different time zone, it just kind of removes some of the factors that you'd expect to be for it to be an ordinary NFL week one game. So I kind of disregard what happened in that game with the Chargers largely to a large extent from my perception of this game. So I still look at this as being tipped in KC's favor. Look, they're going to have to, if you like, as you say, Kieran, this would be technically three defeats in a row if you carried over to last season. And I just think this team is going to be smarting. I think this team is going to be really, really motivated to get something back here. And the danger is, like, as we said, if they do start this game with at 0-2, and like the Broncos go on and win the division, what's going to happen there? I don't know if I can see that happening either. So look, I think the Chiefs are going to win this game at home. I don't think I'll be actually be looking at the under 46.5 in this one, but look, 1.5 isn't much of a spread, but look, I'll be taking that as well. So look, Chiefs to win, I'll be looking under, and I just think Patrick Mahomes will get this one done. And if they don't, it's for the first time in many, many years in KC, they'll be looking at a team with serious questions about their longevity or where they stand now or their chances for the rest of the season and what they're going to look like the next 2 or 3 seasons as well. So it could be a win, it could be getting back to form, or it could be the first little signs of there being a little bit of a reckoning there in KC. So either way, it's going to be extremely interesting to see what happens.
Dynasty dies eventually there, Johnny B. Telling you.
Yeah, just like your Cowboys, Kieran, the Dallas
Foundation.
Cowboys. They were looking so strong for a long, long time, and then in the O'Connor household, there was some terrible, ignominy
No,
at the plight of the Dallas
no.
Cowboys.
No. Eat shit, eat shit. Falcons, Vikings, JJ McCarthy and Michael Penix square off again Sunday night, like they did for a national championship the last time they met. Of course, they faced each other in the 2024 CFP National Championship, where McCarthy's Michigan beat Penix's Washington 34-13. Atlanta Falcons are 13-8 for this. The Minnesota Vikings are 1-2. 3.5 is the spread. And contrasting fortunes over at the weekend, of course, the Falcons will have a field goal that would have tied the game, which was my best bet. So I'll won't forget that one in a while. And the Vikings came from behind to beat Chicago. I don't know how much you got to see of JJ McCarthy, John, but he
Bits and
looked pretty
bobs.
impressive. He looked impressive.
Well, he looked terrible until he started looking impressive. He was kind of one of those guys that started he remembered how to play as the game was winding down a little bit, didn't he?
It's like me on a night
So
out.
yeah, I know. He showed a lot of promise, but look, we talked about this on last week's show as well. He's not technically a rookie, but he kind of is because he was injured for all of last season. But he's the one thing that he definitely is. He definitely, definitely is raw. And that kind of showed. Look, they got over the line in that game with McCarthy, but at the same time, I still think that there are some warning signs there for this Vikings offense, and I don't know what that's going to look like. They obviously have Justin Jefferson, so like Kieran, I think you could be quarterback, and Justin Jefferson would still score a touchdown here and there. So I think that's something that's very much in Minnesota's favor. But I do think that players like, I don't know, secondary, like the tight end Hockenson, I think players like that mightn't be as influential as they might be have hoped for this season, or certainly Hockenson has been influential in the past. He's looking like he might be a sort of a bit part player, though that's kind of a snap judgment after 1 week, of course. Like, but again, still, Justin Jefferson is an elite game changer. From the Falcons' point of view, O-line, they've an average O-line. Penalties look like they could be an ongoing issue for them. And I like the look of Penix. I mean, he was quite impressive last year. He looks like he might be, again, we have a very, very low sample size for this season, but he looks like he's kind of trending towards taking a little bit of a step. But again, let's revisit that when we actually have a lot more evidence to support that point. And the final thing I'll say is this, that I believe Yeah, Atlanta as a road dog, which they are in this one. They've been quite poor. They've lost in the last five times they've been an underdog on the road. They've only won one of them. So, I'd be quite content using just a money line Vikings win as part of an incubator in this one. But if you're feeling a bit more adventurous, I would still take the Vikings minus 3.5.
I will just give something towards Atlanta, which I think is crucial, is that Atlanta really outplayed the Bucs last week based on all the stats that we would normally give out here. 358 to 260 yards, time of possession 35 minutes to 24. Every single time they failed on fourth down short yardage runs through the middle, 7-3 lead in the second quarter, lead Tampa converting into a 52-yard drive for a touchdown. What that showed me, and when you're watching the game, is that their fourth and inches and fourth and one play was very, very poor. But Penix looked okay. I think plus 3.5, getting that field goal, I'm going for plus 3.5 on that one. I liked a lot of what I saw from the Falcons. I really did. I really did.
I don't know, Kieran. Are you putting that all down to a kicker again? Are you? That could be a kicker routine that could ruin you there.
We will not mention that man.
Oh,
Speaking of everyone's favorite ex-Browns quarterback, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Houston Texans square off in Monday Night Football. There's a bit of strange times going on here now. That Tampa Bay Buccaneers Houston Texans game is at midnight-ish, kind of
like Monday night.
yeah. And then the Chargers Raiders, which we'll touch on as well, is at 3 o'clock in the morning. So if you're really up for staying up, but yeah, the Bucs got out of jail really last week. I thought they were really poor at times. Baker had a couple of wild throws, but he's like that. Like you saw him in Brown, like he's box office.
Yeah, let the
He's
man
going to
bake.
get you lots of touchdowns. Let the man bake. For this one, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 6-5. The Houston Texans are 4-6. The over under is 42.5 at the moment, but I think that will change, and I think it will change upwards because it seems like when I looked at kind of the bets that were very popular at the moment, the over on that was screaming popular. I quite like Tampa in this one. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd be looking at Tampa as well. I think, look, I just like Baker Mayfield. Is that can I go and is there do I have to join some sort of club? I just like the guy.
You can join the
And
club if you want
look,
about liking Baker.
yeah, exactly. He's got some, and I also liked, the rookie Ibuka, who got two touchdowns with Baker last weekend. I think he looks like a phenomenal, well, maybe that's overstating it, but for a rookie coming in to play his first game, I thought he looked great. He just looked like an NFL receiver. Sometimes you see these guys coming in from college, first game after being drafted, and they can kind of have that deer in the headlights look a little bit. You saw it with several players in week one who just did not play up to their, at least certainly to their billing. And but this guy, like, again, I will emphasize the point that it's a very, very small sample size still at this point, but I think particularly with Chris Godwin injured and Mike Evans always taking up, the cornerback one, the top corner from the opposition, that leaves a lot of room for this guy to go in there, and looks like he's kind of grasping those opportunities so far with both hands, literally, I suppose you could say. From the Texans' perspective, look. They were efficient in the run game. It was nice to see my man Nick Chubb out there as well. He got 60 yards on the ground. He didn't do anything utterly phenomenal, but his average yards per carry was like 4.6, which is above the NFL average. So it's nice to see. I just think the league is a better place. It's more entertaining when players like Nick Chubb are out there. So more like to see more from him as well. Yeah, I think the Texans being at home is one that makes this game quite interesting. They tend to be quite strong at home, certainly against the spread. Texans against the spread at home in their last seven games, they're 5 wins, 2 losses in that regard. So that's certainly something to look at. But yeah, I'm still a bit higher on Tampa Bay at the moment. I think if Baker is still carrying in his form from last season, which it looks like he kind of was in week one, I look for him to continue that trend as well. So I think yeah, I'd be going towards the Buccaneers in this one. And look, I think the 42.5 is a very achievable target in this one. I'd be quite confident that we'd be hitting the over in this one. So I'll be looking at a Bucs win, but what I'll be putting my money down on will be the over 42.5.
The last game I'm going to look at is going to be my best bet of the weekend, so I might as well just get out there right now, especially with Mike not here. Tweaks, make it in there. Chargers at Las Vegas Raiders, 15 about the Chargers. The Las Vegas Raiders are 6-4. 3 points is the spread, 46.5 is the over-under. The LA Chargers minus 3 are an absolute savage bet in this one. Like, let's just be honest, the Chargers beat Kansas. The Raiders beat a pretty poor New England Patriots team. God knows how many games they'll actually win this season, but I think it'll be, you know, low single digits.
Is that aimed at somebody?
look, it is what it is.
We have a Patriots supporting buddy who is quite optimistic about the Patriots this season,
and poor old Mike is a Patriots fan as well. He's not as optimistic.
Mike's a realist.
Mike is a realist. Yeah, absolutely. Look, the Raiders won last week. Fair play to them, but again, I think they'll have a low single figure season. I also think they don't have home field advantage most of the time. They certainly do not have home field advantage when a team from LA come. That is just, it will be absolutely filled with Chargers fans, just like what we saw when San Francisco roll in there or when the Rams roll in there. Basically, sort of a home game for the Chargers. They're absolutely flying. Herbert just threw for like 300 yards. Wide receiver core looks decent. They've got playing well at running back. We don't know much about their defense at the moment, so I'm not going to start sitting here and saying, hey, look, the huge cock tease that is the LA Chargers are finally going to break out and actually do something. But I do think they're a playoff team playing a team that is simply just not at the races this season, realistically. And I think the fact that it's 3, we get a push if it was a field goal in the Raiders, like it's just not going to happen, in my opinion. And so I'll be all over the Chargers at 3 o'clock in the morning, which is a healthy time to have your biggest bet of the week. I always find.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. It's 3 the spread now, is it? So that's interesting to see. Since Wednesday, that's dropped. It was 3.5 this time yesterday, which was Wednesday, as we have noted. Yeah, I have not too much more to add on that one. The one little thing I'll say about the Chargers, I fancy the Chargers to win this one as well. I thought it last week, I thought there is very interesting because I think most, or maybe, yeah, I think a lot of people would have the idea that the Chargers would have been kind of a run-first offense this year, and I suspect that's what everyone thought going into week one as well. And they go out there, and as you say, Kieran, Justin Herbert threw the ball like his life depended on it. So certainly, if you are a run-first offense, and like the reason I'm talking about that is I'm very high on the rookie Omarion Hampton. I think he's really, really good. I think he's going to be a big player in this league. So I think that it's a positive them from a game script point of view if they're very much exhibiting the fact that they can play in two different ways. They're not one of these teams that are going to be going in there with a very specific game plan and sticking rigidly to it. I think they're able to make the calls, make the reads, and play the game as it develops in front of them. So I think, I'd be quite optimistic if I was a Chargers fan heading into this game. And yeah, Justin Herbert is just one of those like super solid NFL quarterbacks, Kieran, isn't he? He's just one of these guys that rarely seems to make, you know, tremendous, horrible mistakes, but he's also never really the guy that has gone on to move to that next level to be considered one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. For a long time, I kind of thought he was on that sort of Josh Allen trajectory. Perhaps it's because they're kind of built maybe kind of similarly, and Herbert's known for his arm, as is Allen. But look, Allen has that immense rushing ability, so that's what separates the two players. But in this regard, I think this might be a season where Herbert makes that step towards being considered one of the top 5, top 6 kind of quarterbacks in the league. But in order for that to happen, he has to go and do it. So that's all that remains for him. So, but I think he's going to get a win this weekend in Vegas. And we'll see how if Pete Carroll can stem the flow that is going to be an inevitable large amount of passing offense. And hopefully, from my perspective, and certainly from my fantasy team, I hope that Hampton gets going as well.
Right, John, I'm going to give you a little bit of time to think about your best bet. And I am once again just going to take this opportunity to thank everyone for listening to the Week One show again. Thank you so much. Please do subscribe to the channel, and you will get all the push notifications and everything, and leave us a review and stuff like that. And we are going to get the socials up and running a bit more, and a few other bits and bobs. We are getting there, but we're building a community with you guys, and we thank you so much for listening to us. Mike will be back next week. We'll look at doing a season preview. We hope to release that on Wednesday, and we'll do the week 3 lines on Thursday. morning kind of thing. Obviously, we just delayed everything by 24 hours this week in the hope that Mike would be able to join us. But unfortunately, these things do happen.
I will do my best bet. It's a team that I've probably never selected for a best bet before. I'd have to check. No, God, I'm not that.
Can I just shout until I get it right?
Yeah, go. Well, I'll give you two more guesses.
Okay.
You can't think about it too much. You're supposed to just guess.
Yeah, but guessing is an important part of life. You know, having the right tools at your trade to guess. You know.
Okay, we're just prolonging you getting them wrong. Okay. Just so you know.
I'm not prolonging anything. This is the favorite part of the pod for most people, is where I procrastinate. Let me see. No. Rams.
It's not the Browns. That would be too easy.
So it's not, Rams, I said.
Oh, it's not them either.
Okay, so it's not the Rams. That's not the Jags, which means
it's not the Browns.
Is it the Broncos?
It isn't the Broncos, Kieran, so that was a lovely waste of 60 seconds of podcast time. My best bet, Kieran O'Connor, is in the Carolina Panthers and Arizona Cardinals game.
Oh, I was going to say the Panthers. This is so annoying.
Well, it's actually, you would have been wrong as well, because it's the Cardinals.
Yeah, the Panthers, like genuinely, the Panthers look like the worst team in football. Yeah, exactly. Power rankings.
And you know what? Doing. I think Arizona... Now, we might hear David out, obviously, depending how this game goes. But if we're doing that little season preview-ish show next week, you might hear me go into a little bit more detail on the Arizona Cardinals. I think, so I should just also say, Moneyline, Panthers 9-4, Cardinals 1-3. The spread is plus 6.5 in favor of the Panthers, and the over-under is 44.5 as ever. I will stress again to check those whenever it is that you're obviously making any bets or putting any money down, because these markets can fluctuate quite wildly. And I assume that my take on this game is going to, you know, the market will implode after what I say, because I'm very influential with my picks. Kieran, isn't that correct?
Yeah. I mean, you're like Matthew McConaughey in that the film, the one where
that's the one correct.
Where he's the only tall person in a midget family.
Yeah, I am quite tall, so maybe that's why. But I don't look like Matthew McConaughey. I'm going for the Arizona Cardinals in this game. I think they're going to be an improved team this season. I liked what they did in the draft and the offseason. They have invested heavily in the draft. They, I think, as far as I know, they drafted exclusively defensive players. There might have been one. I think there's one position that might have been on the offensive side of the ball, but they drafted a... metric ton of defensive players, and they got some good guys. They got Sweat coming in as well in free agency, so their defense should be, in theory now, a lot more robust than it's been in previous years. I don't know if you need to have an overly robust defense playing the Carolina Panthers, who, Kieran, as you say, were not don't look like they're going to be tremendous this season, but there's plenty of time for them to prove me wrong in that regard. So I think with the spread of 6.5 in this one, I think this is an easy opportunity for the Cardinals to win the game and to cover that spread. So therefore, the Arizona Cardinals are my best bet for week two of the 2025 season.
That's it. That is it for week two of Any Given Game Day with Mike Carlson. Unfortunately, Mike is not able to be with us today, but he will be back next week, and we will do that season preview show where we look at everything. We probably have that out next Wednesday, and we'll be back with our lines on Thursday. And we will, of course, go through all those bets over the last 2 weeks. It's a chance for me and John to get ahead of Mike. John, I know it's a bit strange this week not having Mike here to butt in constantly and tell us things like, yeah, you know what I hate? Games should be available to end in a draw. It should just be allowed to be a draw.
I try to chime in with some like terrible jokes just to kind of fill Mike's gap a little bit. Or I should have gone off on like a wild tangent about something that happened in like the 1960s, but, you know, didn't have an opportunity this time. So
really didn't. But yeah, next time. Exactly.
Next time. That's what we're all looking forward to. So looking forward to having you back, Mike.
Absolutely. Yeah, look forward to having you back. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week for another episode of Any Given Game Day. I'll tell you what, I hope you all the best of luck. Go win all those bets. We'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.
Adios.